Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you, to honor you. Lord, I ask that this morning, that if there's anything we're holding on to, that we just lay it down. Lord, we thank you for our offering. We thank you for the way that you provide, and may it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Through the darkness, your loving kindness.
That's how we kick it off. Because he is our only hope. And that's why we have our My Three, is because we know Jesus is the only hope that we have. And we know we have friends and family who don't know that hope. And this is our opportunity to pray for them, to lift them up, to encourage them. You know, it tells us in John 3:16, a passage that I think most of us are aware of. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And what's interesting, and I bring this up this morning, because on March 16th, 3:16, we're actually having a John 3:16 Sunday. And what I want to encourage you guys, as you're thinking of your My Three, of who of those three can you invite to church that Sunday? Because the whole purpose of that Sunday is going to be about what Jesus has done. Not that it isn't every Sunday, but we're going to have an extra special focus to reach out to those that are lost inside of our community. And so as we prepare to go into prayer, to pray for our three people, I want you guys to continue to pray through also which one of those three to bring to church that particular Sunday. So let's go to Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to worship and to praise you. Lord, we know there are many inside of our community who don't know you. They don't understand how you are our living hope, how you are the one that restores our souls. You're the ones that gives us rest. Father, I ask that in this moment that you hear these names and you do a new work in them. Lord, we know we can't save anyone, but we know you can. And Lord, we lift them up to you and place them in your loving hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
Thank you.
So good having that holy water on us. All you got to do is speak the name of Jesus over every situation, whatever you're going through. Come on, sing it with me.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Break every stronghold.
every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Praise of your glory, for you are reigning.
Can we say amen? What a powerful name it is. I also want to welcome our guests that are here this morning and those joining us online and the radio. We are very thankful for each of you. And before we dive in, let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to look at your word, to gain wisdom and knowledge. Lord, we're thankful for what your son, Jesus, did up on that cross. Father, I ask that this morning, it is your words that are spoken and not my own. And Father, if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's good to be here this morning. You know, last week we wrapped up the story of the blind man that spent his entire life blind until the moment that he met Jesus and everything was radically changed. And as I was reading through that story and I was looking over it, there's a song that keeps popping into my head whenever I hear and whenever I read that story. And it's called Jesus' Fault by Zach Williams. And it paints this picture of this man that was found by Jesus, that was lost and became found. It's a story of how Jesus ran him down where he was at, and it changed his entire life. And inside the song, he starts talking about how people were complaining that he wasn't the same as he used to be. And he just keeps repeating over and over again, well, it's Jesus' fault. And how much truth is that? Because it is Jesus' fault that we're changed. It's not by our own works. It's not anything we did. It's what Jesus did. And we saw that so clearly in the text with the story of the blind man. You know, he was an outcast. He sat on the outer end of town, everything else. And one encounter with Jesus radically changed everything for him. Where there was nothing left. Where not only his physical sight was restored, but so was his spiritual sight. And it's a story that we saw Jesus chasing him down even after the world had thrown him out. It's a story for all of us as a reminder that no matter where we're at in this world, Jesus chases after us. And he wants a relationship with us. And that he wants to give us a future and he wants to give us hope. And of course, there's always going to be those who are going to push back against it. There's always going to be the naysayers. There's always going to be people that are like, nah. And we saw that last week as well. We saw where the Pharisees were pushing back on what Jesus was saying, and they refused to see the fullness of God through Jesus. And that's where we pick up this morning. That's in the text where we're going to be. We're going to be over in John chapter 10, for those who want to follow along, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 21. And so let's dive in. But, you know, in our lives, we have a million and one voices constantly speaking into our lives, don't we? We hear things from all directions. We have friends and family who all have opinions on everything. We have teachers and bosses who have their own opinions and speaking into our lives. We have our government. We have the news. We have popular magazines and TV shows. It's even in the music that we listen to. Is constantly speaking into our lives, trying to get our attention and trying to point us in a certain direction, trying to persuade us one way or the other. And often one of the things that we can find ourselves struggling with is which voice do we listen to? And this is a struggle that isn't just for new believers. This isn't a struggle that just new believers have to deal with. Even the most mature believer at times can be overwhelmed with the voices that we hear and trying to discern which one do we listen to. We have to remember there are good voices and there are bad voices. There are voices that point us towards Jesus, the ones that encourage us and the ones that hold us accountable. At the same time, there are bad voices that constantly try to tear us down. They tell us we're not good enough. They tell us that we're nothing but failures. But then there's other voices that honestly scare me worse than the bad voices. These are the voices that come across sweet and innocent, but they lead us to a life of destruction. These are often the voices that are dressed in sheep's clothing, but are actually wolves underneath. They lead us away from the good shepherd. They lead us away from our Savior. And this is why it's important that we are careful on who and what we listen to. It's important that we pay attention to the world around us to see where God is in it. It's important that we listen to the Word of God and that still small voice within us, that's the Holy Spirit, to see if that voice matches up with the Good Shepherd. You know, in our passage this morning, we see Jesus giving us a parable about listening to the right voice and how we can discern it. How the Good Shepherd leads us to an abundant life and how he's available to all who choose him. But the deal is, we have to be able to recognize the right voice. The scripture tells us in John 10, verses 1 and 2, "Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." Here we see Jesus still interacting and speaking with the same audience that he left off with last week. As Jesus opens up in this parable, he begins to teach those around them, and there's a few things that I think we need to understand about this opening statement here. First, the pen that we're talking about, this was not a small fenced-in area. This wasn't just, you know, a couple of pieces of wood. This wasn't some barbed wire fences around or anything like that. No, this was truly a place of protection, a place where the sheep would have felt secure, you know, and there's often multiple flocks inside of one of these pens because of how large they were. On top of that, they would have been 8 to 10 feet tall stone walls all the way around this pen. And oftentimes what you would find is they would even grow vines and stuff across the top as a deterrent from thieves, from wolves, from other animals, everything else being able to get in. And here was the thing, there was only one way in and one way out, and that was by the gate. On top of that, we need to understand that within the culture of first century Judaism, the Jews often viewed themselves as God's own flock. And they viewed the kings and the prophets as shepherds appointed over them, to watch over them, to protect them and guide them. So they would have clearly understood this analogy and this parable that Jesus was using. And in this particular parable, the flock that Jesus was talking about was the nation of Israel. And that'll become more clear by the time we get to verse 16. And the fence represents the law of God that had been handed down by Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. You see, the fence was put up as a protection for the people. It was God's law for what holiness looked like. It was God's perfect standard laid out for all of mankind. It was a way of protecting mankind to set them apart from the evils of the world until the Good Shepherd could come and lead the people. And we saw in verse 2 how the shepherd will enter by the gate, that he's not trying to climb over the walls. He's not trying to sneak in. Instead, he will come through the gate. Did you guys notice that? The shepherd will come through the gate. And Jesus was using this as an analogy for himself, that Jesus came to the nation of Israel at the appointed time, in the appointed way, just as the scriptures had promised that the Messiah would show up. That he was called by God and sent by God for a time such as this. He wasn't trying to climb over the sides. He wasn't trying to steal the sheep away. He was the shepherd, and he was going straight through the gate. And it tells us then in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And if you remember from earlier, there's normally multiple herds inside of one of these pens. And the sheep pen of Israel held some of God's people who had faithfully awaited the coming Messiah. So when the Messiah came, when Jesus came, the believing Jews recognized his voice and began to follow him. And not only did they recognize his voice, it tells us that he knew each one of them by name. I think it's important for us to always remember that there was many believers, there was many Jewish believers at the time of Jesus who saw him as the Messiah and followed him. The very first church was a bunch of Jewish believers. It was often the leadership that Jesus criticized. And that's often what we read in the scriptures. But he knew each one of them by name, just like he knows us by name. And then in verse 4 and 5, it says, when he has brought all of his own outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. I found this interesting point inside of the passage, this idea that the sheep will follow because they know his voice. You know, we have a good shepherd that leads us because he's gone way before us. He's journeyed through life's ups and downs. He knows the dangers that we face here on earth. He knows the struggles that we face in our lives. He knows the struggles we will encounter throughout our lives. And at times, he leads us beside still waters so that the rushing currents can't sweep us away. Yet other times, he's going to lead us to those green pastures. He needs to lead us through some deep valleys. But when we know our Savior's voice, when we know the voice of the shepherd, we can trust him to lead us even through those dark times. And we can find reassurance in the presence of our Savior that no matter what we face, we can trust him. Because we know he goes before us to prepare a way. You know, this is why it's important that we know our Savior's voice. This is why it's so important that we press in. So that when he calls us and he leads us, we know exactly where to go. We know the voice to listen to, and we won't get distracted by the other things in life. We won't get distracted by the other voices in life. And as Jesus says all of this, it tells us in verse 6, Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Some of the people that were around Jesus at this time were confused at what he was saying. But Jesus continued to press in, and he goes even deeper on the message that he's trying to convey in this passage. He says in verses 7 through 9, Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will come in and go out and find pasture." You know that first verse, verse 7 that we just looked at, where it says, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." What he's talking about is that he is the way out of our old life. That it doesn't matter which other direction that you try to go, it's only through Christ that we will find freedom. You see, Israel was stuck. They were stuck relying on their own understanding. They were stuck in doing things their own ways, and there was no freedom in any of it. And Jesus is saying, "I am the gate that can set you free." And every other way is nothing but thieves and robbers trying to take us away from the true shepherd, trying to lead us astray. You know, there's many false teachers and leaders. There's even people who claim to be the Messiah that are able to gather followers. There's actually currently a man in Russia who claims to be Jesus, just FYI. And you know, there are many of false gospels that are preached today as well that are no gospels at all. Because they don't line up with the Word of God. They don't line up with the character of God. Instead, they lead people to a road of destruction and they blind their followers. That's so often what happens with these false teachers and false prophets, is they lead people in a direction that doesn't actually point them to God. But Jesus is saying, those who know the real shepherd, those who know the voice of the shepherd, they won't be led astray. The way that we know the voice of the shepherd is by getting into God's word daily. It's by spending time in prayer and spending time with our Heavenly Father. It's about trusting that still small voice inside of us. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, revealing the voice of the good shepherd. If we're in God's word daily, if we have an understanding and we've allowed the Holy Spirit to work inside of our lives, it is not going to be easy for a fake shepherd to come along and drive us away. Because we're going to understand who God is. And God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. So when somebody comes along with a false gospel that doesn't match up with what Jesus has taught us, we know to avoid and to stay away. That leads to a road of destruction. We can trust the good shepherd's voice. And let me tell you, we are going to encounter many of thieves in our lives. We will encounter many of false shepherds. And it tells us in verse 10, "A thief only comes to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it abundance." You see, false teachers and leaders, those that are the thieves, only come to kill and destroy, to lead us away from the hope of the truth of the gospel, to lead us away from the abundant life that God has in store for us. Their goal is not for our salvation. That is not what their goal is. Their goal is for their own glory. And they don't care what happens to the sheep. Where it tells us what the good shepherd does in verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He cares for his sheep and he protects his sheep. You know, there's four characteristics of a good shepherd that are outlined in this passage at this point. First off, he approaches them directly. You know, we saw that when Jesus went up to the gate and is able to enter the gate, it is him approaching his sheep directly, not trying to slip over the sides or anything, but going straight through them. Second, he has God's authority. You know, when we saw him when he entered the gate, when the gatekeeper was there, he opened the gate to let him in. He has the authority to do that. He meets real needs. We saw that when the sheep recognized the voice and followed him. They knew that he would take care of them and take care of whatever their need is. And fourthly, he is a sacrificial love. You see, he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Those four things all point to Jesus. When Jesus came and took on the form of man, he understood what he would have to do. This wasn't a shock that he would have to go to the cross. He willingly laid down his life so that we, his sheep, could have abundant life. And that's why we can trust him. That's why we call him the Good Shepherd. It continues in verses 12 through 13, and it says, the hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. Jesus, at this point, he's giving another analogy to point out what's going on. And in this case, it's between the good shepherd and a hired hand. You see, the hired hand doesn't care about the sheep at all. He's just worried about getting paid. He's got no investment in the sheep. So when the wolves come out and they start to attack, what does he do? He runs away. What he's talking about here is false prophets and false teachers again. Those who take advantage of God's people. These are the ones who sell a false gospel, yet when they face challenges and persecution, they leave the flock behind because they never cared about the people to begin with. They simply were doing it for a paycheck. They were doing it to make themselves look good. And they were unwilling to count the cost to be a follower of Christ. Following Jesus is never, we're never promised an easy life. But we are promised that we have a good shepherd that guides us through it. Jesus points out again more about the good shepherd in 14 and 15. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I think so often we have this view of God as this distant figure, this thing that doesn't have any interaction with us. He created us, he put it into motion, and he walked away, and he just, you know, occasionally wants to hear an amen and a hallelujah from us, and the rest we just continue on. But what Jesus is referring to here is that it's about an intimate relationship with him, that if we are his sheep, that we will know him on an intimate level, like we can speak to him, we can interact with him, we will hear his voice. All of that is there, just as the Father and him know each other. You know, Jesus knows each one of us by name. And he knows us so well that he knows the number of hair on your head. Do you guys know how many hairs you have on your head? None of us do. But Jesus does. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows when we follow the good shepherd, when we follow Jesus the Messiah, we can trust him because of this. We can trust that he's going to guide us, that he's going to direct us. We can trust that he wants good things for our lives, that he will lead us to the greener pastures. And then Jesus says something that would have shocked the Pharisees and the Jews around him. He said in verse 16, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. What Jesus is talking about, if you remember the pen, as he initially started off with, was the nation of Israel. But here he's saying he has other pens and other flocks that have his people. You see, Jesus is not just for a select group of people. He's not just for people that look like us, talk like us, act like us. He's available to all of mankind around the world. No matter where someone's background is, no matter where they're from, he's available to them. Did you know Jesus is available to the drug addict and the alcoholic? Did you know he's available to the homeless man that lives down the street? He's available to your neighbors and your coworkers. He's available to the government officials and politicians. He's available to kings and queens around the world. He is available to your worst enemy because he's available to all of us. And he's come to set us all free. See, when he's talking about that one pen, Israel often looked at it was just for them, but it was for the entirety of the world. And that same thing goes for us here today. It is for everyone, not just a select few. Our job is to tell the world about what Jesus has done in our lives, because that message of hope is not just for us. It's not something we're supposed to hide inside. It's through Christ that we are united. No matter what our background, no matter what situation we have come out of. It is through Christ that unites us. That's why he says it is one flock and one shepherd. It's not about denominations. It's about one body of Christ and what he's done for us. And it goes further in verse 17 and 18. And it says, this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. It's here that we see Jesus emphasizing that his death on the cross was his own choice. This is the decision that he took on his own because of the Father. And there's nothing here on earth, there's no power stronger than our Heavenly Father. Jesus didn't die on the cross because some Jewish people got mad at him and sent him to the cross. He didn't die on the cross because the Roman officials decided this is a great way to get rid of the Jesus problem. No, Jesus died on the cross because he made a decision to go there on his own. And he did it because he loves each one of us. He was willing to lay down his life for each of us. That's the heart of the gospel. This wasn't something that was forced on him. This was something he took gladly. And he did it so he could make a way for you and I. He took the punishment that was meant for you and I. That cross is what we were supposed to be on. But Jesus did it in our place. He fulfilled what Isaiah 53:6 says, where it says, we all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquities of us all. He took the penalty that you and I were supposed to have, so that we could have life and have it abundantly, so that we could be restored with our Heavenly Father. This is not forced on Jesus. He did it out of love. And he's calling each of us out of our old life, out of our old pens, into a new life with him. You know, some of you here this morning have answered that call years ago. Some of you are still holding off, and you're stuck in your old pen, unwilling to surrender to Jesus because you're scared of what it might cost. You're scared of what might be outside that barrier that you have built for yourself. But I want to encourage you to be brave like the blind man was, to step out and trust that Jesus will lead you where you need to go, that he's calling you and he calls you his own. He's willing to meet you wherever you're at in life. It doesn't matter what life you've been living, and he wants to welcome you into the fold of the family of God. But here's the thing, we have to be willing to listen to the shepherd's voice, the one who willingly lays down his life for you and I. We have to let him lead us out. And I know some of you will choose to say yes, and some of you have. And some of you will continue as the Jews did in 19 to 21 and hold off. And it says, again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, he is a demon. He has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Others are saying, though, these aren't the words of someone who is demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I think we often forget, and as I invite the band back up, on how much Jesus can divide at times. Jesus can divide the world. There are many who are like the Pharisees inside of this moment who can't believe what Jesus was doing. They're scared of what it means if they acknowledge Jesus as Lord. So they come up with all types of excuses and allow this division to come in, even to the point that they call Jesus demon-possessed and crazy, and making fun of those who do believe. But there are others that will look at the facts of the gospel. They will look at what Christ has done in their lives and their friends' lives and the people around them, and they will start to hear the voice of our Savior. They will start to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd calling us back to Him. But you have to choose. Which voice do you want to listen to? Do you listen to Jesus or do you listen to the world? Because all the other voices have no power like Jesus' voice. But we have to make that choice, each of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you and to praise you. Lord, I ask that you do a new work inside of each of us. Father, that we may hear the Good Shepherd's voice clearly in our lives, and that you may make us new again. Lord, may you lead us out of the pen and into the green pastures. May you restore our lives, and may we look to you for our hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh.
this week, I just want to encourage you to grow in relationship with Christ. Dig into His Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and reveal Himself in greater ways, that you may hear the voice of our Good Shepherd, and that He may lead you and guide you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.